It is an honor to stand in God's pulpit this morning. I hate the circumstances with our pastor sick, but I always appreciate any opportunity to share God's word. For those of you who do not know me, you are already blessed this morning. For those of you few that do know me, you're probably elbowing those next to you saying, "Pray for me." But I'm Stan Gilcash. I was a pastor in upstate New York, right near the Canadian border, Watertown, Fort Drum, for 21 years. I was 2 months short of 21 years at our church. And we started, when I got there, everybody said you can't grow a church up there. It's a very heavy Catholic community. And we had 40, and we grew it to 28 within 2 weeks. The U.S. Army has wonderful timing. They sent 12 of our guys to Haiti for what happened there. But God is not worried about what man says, because over about 15 years of my time there, God grew that church to about 400. And then the Army decided that it didn't like having three brigades, and they shut a brigade down, and we lost 100 people over in about a course of 2 or 3 months. So that was the nature of our church, up and down with military moves. Prior to that, though, I was kind of used to that, because prior to that, I was in the military. I had a career in the military. I worked with explosives, which was good training for being a pastor. And you know, we had a good time. How many military folks we got? Probably your military. Amen. You know, brothers and sisters twice, once in uniform, once in Christ. Amen. So you'll know what I'm going to talk about. I mean, if you've been in the military, you've pulled guard duty, you've stood watch, or you've walked a post. It's fun, isn't it? We had mid-70s. I was in New Mexico, and the bad guys came up out of Mexico, and they tried to break into the weapons area at Fort Bliss. Didn't get anything, so they came to Holloman Air Force Base, tried to get in there, almost got in. They got actually to the buildings. So they put us, we were the next closest military outfit, and they put us on alert. And being the low man on the rank, guess who got night duty? Midnight, walk a post out in this field behind our munition storage area. So for 6 nights, I'm walking back and forth, 100-yard post, going back and forth. I mean, by the time I got to the first night, I was tired of it. By the second, by the third night, I could walk it with my eyes shut, because I knew where every rock, yep, there's a tree, there's a small bush, there's a cactus, stay away from that, you know, and I knew where everything was. And about the sixth night, I'm walking my post, and I'm just, you know, kind of just complacently walking, and all of a sudden I came across a small bush like a tumbleweed, and all of a sudden my world just exploded. Something came up out of behind that bush, and my weapon came up. I snapped the selector from safe to full auto, and I was just about ready to put my finger on the trigger. Now, where I grew up, our rabbits were about that big. And they had fluffy little cotton tails, and they had little ears, and they weighed about 1.5 pounds, maybe 2 pounds. In New Mexico, they've got these 3-foot rabbits that should be God, you know, Rabbitzilla or Frankenrabbit or something. They weigh about 30 pounds, and they got teeth like that on them, you know. I almost sent that rabbit to its creator. I had become so complacent in walking my post, I didn't see the rabbit sitting there. They call them jackrabbit because they jack you up when you get near them. And I found out later from ranchers that you can walk up on a jackrabbit and you just about have to step on them to get them to move. Well, I had become so complacent in walking my post, I never saw the rabbit sitting in the middle of the trail. You know what that's like. You drive to work, you drive to school, you drive that same road every day. Then one day you have to go somewhere and you're driving down that road and you should make a right turn, but you just keep on going because you're on autopilot and you're driving just like you're going to work or school. Or you see things, how long's that been there? What's been there 6 months? Some folks back there have experienced that. Find out what time they're on the road and stay off. We become so complacent in things, and sometimes that happens in our belief. We come to church on Sunday morning, we sit down, we sit in the same spot, talk to the same people, and when church is over, we walk out the door. That's not what Jesus wants. See, the definition of complacency is a false sense of safety in a situation of grave danger. And there are people who sit in churches today who have a false sense of safety when they're in a situation of grave danger, because you see, Jesus, as Lee mentioned just a little bit ago, is coming back. Amen? Well, some of you believe it. The rest of you are going to find out. I agree with Billy Graham, and he says 30% of church members probably are going to be still sitting in the pew when Jesus returns, because they have a knowledge up here, but not down here. And they're sitting with a false sense of security in a situation of grave, grave danger. Because the time is right, more so now than ever before in history, for the return of Jesus Christ. They know about Jesus, but they don't have him in their heart. And they're going to be left sitting behind when we find that that trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise. They just come to church. They don't attend a Bible study where they can study to show themselves approved. They don't connect in any other way in the church. They don't go to any of the groups or meetings or take part in anything. They just come and sit and then go home. We had an older lady in our church, Miss Betty, who used to say they would sit, soak, and sour. And that's all they were good for. How sad it is. Now, notice I don't say Christianity or faith, because Christianity means you have Jesus down here in the heart. You have that relationship. You've acknowledged in your heart Jesus is Lord. Same with faith. But a belief is not the same. And I'll show you in just a moment. You see, Scripture tells us, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Quite clear. We must believe in our heart in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. For you see, the demons believe. Those angels which fell with Lucifer, who once beheld the face of Jesus Christ, they believe in Jesus. They believe in their head, but not their heart. You see, Jesus is coming back. Amen? Well, we got a few more believers now. We'll get you there. We'll have everybody saying amen by the time we're done. In James chapter 2, it tells us you believe there is one God. You do well. Even demons believe and tremble. So if you believe head knowledge, and I had a fellow that I knew, he could almost quote Scripture throughout the whole Bible. He knew the Bible back and forward, but he did not believe in Jesus in his heart. You see, the demons have it up here, but they don't have it down here. And there are many people who come to church and they go through the motions. They have a complacency of belief because they believe, but don't have that heart knowledge. That's the difference between Christianity, faith, and belief. Belief can be just up here. The demons believe. How sad it will be for the day the trumpet sounds and people are still sitting here on these pews, because they never transferred that knowledge to their heart. Let's take a look at a piece of Scripture that speaks about this. It kind of, in an indirect way, and Jesus was great at that. He spoke in very much indirect ways sometimes. But the message is clear that we need to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. And as you find that, I would ask that you would stand in honor of the Lord's word as we read this first passage. This is the parable of the 10 virgins. You're probably familiar with this, and I hope this is maybe a little bit fresh look for you at this passage of Scripture. But it reads like this. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Father, as we look at your word this morning, if there's one here today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, may today be the day of their salvation. And Lord, for those of us who claim Jesus Christ as Lord, may today we leave here walking closer with him than when we came in. We pray this to your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat. You see, the bridegroom sent out an invitation. And these 10 virgins, these 10 young ladies, they all had the invitation. Now, I don't know whether it came by text or printed mail, but they got it, okay? They got it. And they knew what to do. They knew going to a wedding. I hope it's a Baptist wedding. There'll be food. They knew what they had to do to be prepared. They all received it. In America today, it would be fair to say that most everybody in America, not all, but most everybody in America has had the invitations shared with them. And you know what I'm talking about. You can't watch a football game without seeing the guy with the hair, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. People have shared it. It's been on television. It's been on everywhere. America has received the invitation. But what have we done with it? Now, the five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Only five did the proper thing. They got the invitation and they said, we got to get ready. We got to do this. And they went out and they got the oil in an extra vessel so they'd have plenty of oil when the bridegroom came. They got prepared. Five were foolish. They did not get the extra oil. They knew they had to, but they never did it. Now let's bring that into today's world. We've all heard the invitation. We know what we have to do. We have to believe in our heart with the Lord Jesus Christ, confess with our mouth. Follow him in baptism like these young boys this morning, confessing to the world that we believe Jesus Christ is Lord. But there are some who fail to follow through with the preparation. They know they have to. They've heard the messages. They've come. They've sat in church. There might be some here this morning, sitting here this morning. You've sat here and you've sat here and you've sat here. You need to respond to that invitation to come and trust in Jesus Christ. It's not enough to believe up here. You must transfer it down here. That's the preparation we must do. Take it from our head when we hear that invitation on Jesus Christ and bring it into our heart and let God work on us. Then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks the glories of Jesus Christ. We must prepare ourselves. Five did that. Five prepared. They got their oil. Five did not. They failed in their preparation. Look in verse 5. But while the bridegroom was delayed, and no one would argue Jesus is delayed. We've been waiting for him for a long time. And nobody knows when he's coming back, only the Father. One of these days soon, he's going to look, son, it's time, go get your brothers and sisters. Amen? Amen. We're getting a little more, there's a couple more. We're getting there. Jesus is returning. We don't know when. He's delayed, just like the bridegroom was delayed. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him. That word go in the Greek is an imperative. There's no option. Go. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. You see, they were about to be in darkness because they failed to prepare. They failed to do the thing that needed to be done, but it was too late to fix their failure. They thought, I got plenty of time. The bridegroom's late. I'll go do it tomorrow. Time ran out. And that day that Jesus returns, it's not going to be time to do what you need to do. For the Bible says he is going to come with a trumpet shout, a shout and a trumpet blast. You know, we got a cemetery right over here. Can I be kind of mean for a second? I hope I'm downtown when Jesus returns. Because you know what? The dead in Christ shall rise first. And I'm going to turn around and I'm going to say, hey, looky there. Look what's going up. And the people, their jaws are going to drop open. And then once the dead are gone, it's going to be my turn. And I've got a big chunk of metal in this shoulder where I've had it replaced. I'm not going to need it in heaven. And I'm kind of hoping as Jesus takes me up off that sidewalk, that old chunk of metal just goes clunk, and their mouth goes, oh, no. It's going to be so cool. I can't wait for Jesus to return. You know what? I hope I'm alive. I may not be. He may tarry some more. But I know one thing. I'm prepared. Are you? I'm prepared for the return of Jesus Christ. You see, that's why I love church, because I win either way. I mean, this should be the highlight of our week, coming to church. We should be here, we should be excited to get here. Because the rest of the week, we get beat up by the world. Here, we can love on each other, pray for each other, feed each other. Brother Lee. Amen. Chicken pot pie. Yes, sir. But are you prepared? Are you prepared to meet Jesus? You see, you have to be prepared on your own. You can't get there on anybody else's efforts. You can't depend on others. It's for by grace that we've been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. It's your faith right here in your heart. You take the belief that Jesus is who he says he is and bring it into your heart. Your mouth speaks confession on him and you are saved. That's how it works, folks. You can't get there on your mother's faith, your father's faith. You can't get there on your husband or your wife's. You have to get there on your own faith. You must prepare your heart and trust in him. The question is, have you done that? Or are you sitting here in a complacency of belief, doing the same thing over and over, hoping that's enough? Verse 9, but the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. Go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. You see, they have to do it on their own. Others can't do it for you. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. When Jesus returns and gathers those who are his back to glory, the door is shut. That word shut means it's a one-time action in the Greek. When you look at it, it's shut. That's it. Not going to open again. You know, it's kind of like when Noah got in the ark and the Bible says God shut the door and sealed it. Protection. We will have the protection of eternity with God. But these five who were foolish listened to what happened. Afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Oh, how sad. They were so close. All they had to do was prepare ahead of time. But they failed. And there are going to be some, as Billy Graham and others have said, that are going to still be sitting in churches should the Lord come on a Sunday morning because they failed to prepare for the Lord. They wouldn't move from their head to their heart. These five young ladies did not receive a welcome from the bridegroom. And we know, of course, the story, the analogy, the bridegroom is Jesus. The five who were ready are those who profess Jesus Christ. The five foolish ones are those who have not professed Christ. They go banging on the door. Let us in, let us in. No, listen to what they got. They did not receive a welcome, they received a condemnation. If you want to see condemnation, go read the books in Revelation about the churches there. I don't know about you, but I don't want to hear a word of condemnation from God. Verse 12, the bridegroom answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Can you imagine hearing those words from God? I do not know you. Listen to what Jesus puts at the end of this parable. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Are you prepared to meet Jesus? Whether he tarries in his coming and we meet him through natural death, or he comes and we meet him that way, does not matter. We will meet him. Will you hear the words, welcome to your rest, or will you hear the words, I do not know you? You might say, but I've done this for the church, and I've done that. I've sang in the choir. I've sat in a Sunday school. Doesn't matter if you do not have Jesus in your heart. None of that matters a bit. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? Again, if we were to bring it into today's world, have not we sat in church in your name? Have not we sung in your name and even in the choir? Have not we attended dinners in your name? Or a Sunday school in your name. And then I will declare to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, our works do not get us into heaven. It's a faith in Jesus Christ that resides in our heart. And if you're here today, and you have not moved that belief in your head to your heart, I want to invite you to do that. I want to invite you to come and put action to what your heart is telling you to do by coming down to this altar and just coming before God. Now, I'll be here to pray with you. Others will be here. We'd be glad to. But you know the beautiful thing about God? We don't have to go through man. We can go directly to the throne ourselves. And we can pray, Father in heaven, I need you. I need your Son, Jesus Christ, in my life. I believe he was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on Calvary's cross for my sins, so that his shed blood will cover mine. If you're here today and you've never done that, I want to encourage you to do that, because I'm telling you, their time is right for Jesus to return. Never before has Israel been threatened the way it is threatened right now. Never before have nations had the capability with certain weapons to destroy the nation of Israel. They're going to try, and God's going to take his hand. He says, not to my people, you're not. And he's going to protect that nation. If you're here this morning, you've never professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to do that. If you're here this morning and you have professed Christ, but perhaps you have, which is a whole other message, the complacency of Christianity or the complacency of faith, I want to encourage you to come and say, Lord, help me to get out of complacency. We all fall into it. Help me to be an active Christian. Not a complacent one. The question this morning that you need to answer, are you prepared for the return of Jesus Christ? Are you ready? Because he's coming again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word that just inspires us and encourages us to look inside and really examine ourselves to see, am I a true believer in Jesus Christ? And Father, I pray today if there's one here that needs to trust in Jesus, may he do so or she do so before it's too late, before the door is shut, before the bridegroom comes. Lord, for those who proclaim Jesus Christ, I pray that if they're stuck in a rut of complacency, that you would help them by pulling them out and setting their feet on a path of service to you. Lord, if there's one here today that needs to be baptized, may they come forward and say, I want to be baptized. I want to profess my faith in Jesus. Whatever it is, Lord, that we need to do today, help us to do it. To the glory and honor of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.